guys. I'm so excited. On this episode of Get Real Podcast, I have Caitlin Bristow joining me. She is such a cutie. Y'all probably know her from Bachelor Nation. She started off on Chris Soule's season. She got like third runner up. And then she went on to be the Bachelorette. She was the only Bachelorette that started off with two Bachelorettes. And then she was the one that was chosen. It was amazing. And she ended up dating her fiance for 3.5 years, Sean Booth. They broke up, and now she is with the cutie Jason Tartick, who was on Becca's season, who I was fully invested in that season. Loved it so much. He was my favorite. And now they're the cutest couple ever. I showed up to her house today to interview her, and Jason answered the door, and I had a little moment. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so too good to be true. I'm living here in a bachelor fairy tale. They're such a cute couple. They have a new dog named Ramen. Caitlin walks me through her journey with The Bachelor and Bachelorette. The highs, the lows, all that she's loved, all that she's learned through love. She has really put herself out there in the love department, and she's learned so much. She's so wise. She has worked so much on herself, and she's so willing to be vulnerable and honest, which I think is just so inspiring. I always really admire people like that. She has so many companies going on. She has her own podcast called Off the Vine, which is amazing. I went on that and it was so much fun. And she has a scrunchie company called Do Edit. She has a wine company. She is doing it all. And she's just such a bright ray of light. So get excited. Here's Caitlin. We are talking everything bachelor, life, lessons, the whole shebang. Here she is. Okay. I'm so excited. I have you on my podcast now.
I know. Tables have turned.
Tables have turned. Yeah. Caitlin Bristow.
Yeah.
In your house.
Yeah. I like it. I feel comfortable.
You feel good in here?
Yeah.
I'm glad you feel good in here.
I feel good about it. Yeah.
You probably spent a lot of time in here.
Yeah. I call this the Off the Vine headquarters. And we sit in here. Jason and I have like meetings in here. We take phone calls and we just make it our little office. Yeah.
It's got great vibes. You probably unearthed a lot of stuff about yourself and others in here.
Yes, a lot.
I mean, things you probably didn't even know that you didn't know about yourself.
This room is full of secrets, but not so secret
because they're all airy.
Yeah. I'm like, but then a lot of people listen, so not really.
It feels like
my safe place, though.
I know. Do you feel that way when you're talking on this, that like no one's really ever listening, so you like divulge everything?
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, like Jason actually asked me to reel it in a couple times. He's like, maybe don't talk about our sex life. Like, I'm like, oh, fair.
Well, yeah, you know.
That's who I am.
People want to know.
I know. Which is crazy, but they do.
People want to know all that stuff.
Yeah, and I tell them.
Which, by the way, I was very excited to see Jason opening the door.
Oh, yes.
Today.
He is my new roommate.
Or is this a thing? Okay, we have two new roommates.
I'm hoping Ramen settles down a little bit. So
if it sounds like there's thunder rolling in the house, it's the dog.
It's the dog toy. So, two new roommates. I went from being this single little lady in my own house to two boys taking over. So,
how's it been?
You know what? It's been a pretty good adjustment. Like, Jason and I have really good communication. So if anything's ever bothering us or we have like a tough conversation, we just sit down, pour a glass of wine, have the tough conversation. And we've been really good with that so far. But again, we've only lived together for like a week now. So maybe circle back in like a year and I'll have more juice for
you. Check back in.
Yeah. Right now it's going really well though.
Okay, I freaking love that. Okay, so we have to talk about all things you. I want to start with a question, though.
Okay.
Because the world is obsessed with Bachelor, Bachelorette Nation.
Right.
It's just a thing.
It is a thing. The following is very loyal.
I mean, people are crazy about it.
Yeah.
And so, since there's such an obsession, what are you obsessed with right now?
Oh, right now I'm obsessed with Game of Thrones.
I'm just now getting into it?
Yes, I just got to season 3 and I somehow don't know any spoilers. And even though everything's like all
That's
over Twitter
miracle.
And yeah, I don't know how. Anytime I see anything Game of Thrones, I like just turn it off because I don't want to know anything. So I'm on season 3, pretty obsessed with that. And I think I'm just really obsessed with my new dog. Like I'm just so obsessed with him to the point where I like wake up in the middle of the night and just stare at him. And I'm just like, oh, I'm just so lucky.
Does he sleep in the bed?
No. Okay, so that's another thing. I'm I'm pretty obsessed with Jason and my dog right now because it's like, you know, it's that new exciting phase. And I do the same thing. I'll like look over at Jason and look at Rom and I'm like, I'm so lucky. But he, Jason said that's the one rule is that we don't let him in the bed. Oh,
not on the chair. As we're speaking, Ramen is crawling on the back of my chair. He's like, Mom, you're not the boss of me.
It's so funny. It's like he knows when he's supposed to be calm. That's when he gets rowdy. And then otherwise, he's so calm. Like, it's insane. But that was the one rule that Jason said was that he couldn't be on the bed.
Could you go ahead and start that now? Because you can't break them of it. We're trying to break our dog of the bed sleeping. It's near impossible.
But it's not going well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, Ramen, we might have to, like, I don't know
fine.
What to do with him.
I love a good puppy.
Okay. Yeah. Jay, can you maybe just come grab him? He's just being a little crazy.
Here, do you want to say hi since you're here?
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
The new roommate.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, I was telling her about Off the Vine headquarters and how we have meetings in here.
Yeah.
Ramen, you're really ruining
power
the podcast.
Hour. No, you're not. He just wants to be in it.
Yeah. Just pick him up and see what we can
do. Okay.
Just,
yeah, get in.
Sorry.
There.
Ramen.
Come
here. Wow, is he putting on weight?
He's growing, boy.
I don't know. Yeah, when you pick him up, he's like, oh, this is what it's like to breathe the air up here.
It's like, I'm a lap dog.
So funny. Anyways, yeah, so we're saying no Ramen in the bed, but he'll wake up at like 3 a.m. for the last 5 days and just cry. And it's heartbreaking. He like genuinely cries. And then I'm like, just get in the bed. And then as soon as he's beside us, he stops crying. I think he has a little bit of separation anxiety just from what he's been through. And I think he knows he was saved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you said you saved him from
South Korea. Yeah, yeah.
Because you follow dogs that are in danger and need help, and you found him.
Yes, I donated for his surgery because I just felt terrible. It was the saddest story. People had kicked him on the streets, and this is one of the saddest things I've ever heard. But in some cultures, they do abuse dogs, and they abuse Goldens the most because they take it so well. And it just made me sick to my stomach. And so I donated to his surgery and I felt so attached to him. And then once they were like, yeah, he's like healing and he's been neutered and all these things and he's ready for a home. I looked at Jason and I was like, I know this is a lot, but I think we need to get this dog. And he was like, you know, the timing isn't right. And I was like, there's no right time.
That's right. There's no right time.
Especially to save a dog. Like, we just have to do this. And I said, I think I'll resent you if you say no. And then he was like, we're getting a dog.
And we're getting a dog.
And so we did. And he's been actually a really big blessing for us. Yeah.
How has he blessed you?
Yeah. He's just honestly so loving. He somehow, Jason and I are like really close. He's somehow brought us closer. We feel like we're doing, you know, co-parenting with this dog. So we're learning a lot about, you know, we'll wake up in the middle of the night. If he's crying, does he need to go out? And Jason will be like, it's my turn. I'll do it. And
it's good preview for parenthood.
Yeah, it really has been. And I feel like that's been really nice for us to, I feel like he's somehow brought us closer together. He's teaching us patience and life lessons.
Getting you ready for those babies.
Yeah, I really think he is. It's like it's a nice little like, I mean, it's nothing like having a baby, but it's
I think there's like stages. I do think like you get into a relationship, you know, move in or whatever.
Yeah.
Get a dog.
Yeah.
Learn how to deal with living together. Yeah. Learn how to deal with raising an animal, keeping something alive together.
Right.
Then next comes baby.
I agree.
It's because you want babies.
Oh, I want. Yeah. I wish I could like have all the babies, but I'm right now I'm saying two.
Two's a good number.
Yeah, I think two's a good number.
Okay, you know what is crazy?
What?
Okay, like, you know when you bought a house, like when you buy a house?
Yeah.
Do you get obsessed with decorating
it?
Yes. And like you, for once in your life, like all of a sudden you're caring about like cabinets and colors. Yes.
I got so excited about a vacuum the other day. Like,
yes!
Really genuinely excited. And then I'm like, that is, and I was doing a puzzle watching Jeopardy the other night.
It is so crazy how all of a sudden like these domestic things that you thought were so kind of like boring before now like your obsession.
Yeah.
I'm just like bouncing off the rooftops because on the way over here, I just confirmed what strollers that I'm getting. And I cannot even handle because I have been like, I will wake up in the middle of the night.
Thinking about it. Yeah.
Because there's so many decisions.
Yeah, I know. Well, even just having a dog, I'm like, wait, like I get stressed out about what toys he has.
Yes.
Well, I can't imagine like outfits for a baby and strollers and everything that goes along with it, and just getting like the best of the best because you want them to be safe.
And here's the thing. There's like with this for I have been like literally. So I'm getting. I have to tell you all about what to get when you have babies.
Okay. Yes.
So I'm getting this Upper Baby Vista Mesa set, which is amazing. Oh. And I have been waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Searching that. Plus I'll search like crib mattresses.
Oh, yeah.
Which ones are breathable.
Yeah.
Which ones are not. And it's like to make a decision, it has stressed me out. I felt like it was Christmas today. I was like, oh my God, so I made funny. A decision. Like, yes. Oh my God.
I know. Well, congratulations on your decision.
Hey, thanks. I definitely feel like I made the right decision with the Upper Baby stroller system. It's super cute, super safe. And when we have another kid, you can carry more than one kid around in the stroller, so we will be set.
You're going to be annoyed at how many texts I send you, like asking you questions.
Well, you need a mom gang.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do.
Do you have a mom gang?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And I ask them for everything.
Oh, good. Yeah. See, you need that. That's all of my closest girlfriends and my sister have gone through this and all have two. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be so prepped
when the time comes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will, but... Can you ever be really prepped?
No, because it's just anxiety. But it's like with every new thing. Probably moving in gave you anxiety.
Yeah,
getting a dog. True. Going on The Bachelor.
That was major anxiety. Actually, you know what's crazy is I felt so calm going on The Bachelor. Bachelorette was a different story. But I just felt so calm going into The Bachelor.
Your dude was Chris Soules?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I actually didn't. Okay, so you, Chris Soules.
Yeah.
Was your first.
Yeah.
And then you were The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And then you had like a little thing with Nick Vale, right?
Yeah.
Because he came back on your season.
Yes. So he came back on he was on Andy's season, came back on my season, and then he became The Bachelor.
Yeah. And you've had some major, and then you had, obviously, you dated Sean.
Yep.
And now you're dating Jason. So you have like been through the ringer with The Bachelor.
I really have. And Ben Higgins was also The Bachelor. He was on my season.
So did y'all have a little, y'all had some stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like in love with him.
How far did he make it?
Top three.
Good. How do you deal with all this love?
Because it's lust.
It is?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Because now I love them as friends. Like Ben's one of my dear friends.
And you're able to become friends.
Oh, yeah. Because.
Is that the thing with The Bachelor? Like you can become friends with people you dated?
Yes. Because you come out of that bubble where, you know, you don't have a choice. You're just put into these romantic situations. You are like. You're forced to have a romantic connection with them because you're going on dates, you're kissing, you're talking about marriage, and you're just in this bubble where you're not like, hey, do you want to stay and be friends? Like, that's not an option.
Right.
So once you realize you don't have that connection, you come out of the bubble and you realize you could be friends with some of them. Not all of them.
How do you know that the connection wasn't there? Like, what if you had like a freaking rocking physical connection?
Yeah, well, that does happen, but that fades.
Okay.
Yeah. Over time, the more dates you go on, I feel like it just fades.
Because it's like you can't live in lust your whole life.
Right.
There's got to be more.
Right. Yeah. Then you get to the like tough conversations towards the end. And I think that's when you really see how you communicate and the real connection. And you kind of are like, okay, that was fun to make out with you or whatever. But now like, let's get into the real stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you believe you can have more than one soulmate?
Ooh, no.
You don't?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I guess I do.
So what?
No, I don't know.
What would you call all of your road leading up to here? Because you know like that Rascal Flatts song, God Bless the Broken Road,
yes,
led me straight to you.
Of course.
So what would you call your Bachelor Broken Road leading you to Jason? Like what are all those journeys?
Peaks and valleys? Like it's just so crazy because... You think you find your soulmate and you convince yourself they are, but then they're not. I don't know. No, I don't think you can have more than one soulmate. I think you can have many relationships and loves and people who come in. I always say people come into your life. Well, I always say it was my girlfriend who told me the season, reason, or lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a bunch of seasons or reasons
preparing you
for your lifetime. Yeah.
Okay, so you said earlier, before I just sidetracked, one of the things all my listeners say is that I like sidetrack and interrupt sometimes.
Me too. I get that all the time. Yeah, no, people tell me that I do that too. I think it's because you get nervous as a host that you want to keep up the conversation.
And you don't want to like forget to ask the questions when they're talking right. about something right. else.
It's tough. People don't realize how tough it is because it seems so fun and it is so fun, but you're also trying to like be professional.
Yes.
And so, and it's like, you probably didn't go to school for like broadcasting or, you know, journalism. And so you're just winging it and it's just normal conversation. So it's, I get it. It's tough.
You're,
I get that feedback
like,
too, though.
I love your podcast, but you need to stop interrupting your guest.
I get that all the time if it makes you feel better.
That actually does.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a host thing because you just are trying to like keep the conversation and engaged and, you know, I don't know. I get it too.
Okay. But to circle back.
Yes.
You said you were not nervous when you went on The Bachelor.
Right.
With Chris.
Right.
Were you expecting to fall in love with him?
No. And I think I just was in a place in my life where I was ready to like do something that was an opportunity or something out there. That's always just kind of been who I, it's who I am, to take risks and just go after things and not even think twice about it. And so I was, you know, working at a restaurant. I felt like a little stuck in my life. I was kind of in a rut, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And so it was kind of a, why not? It's an opportunity. Let's do it.
Shake
if I
it
fall
up.
In love, great. He right. seems like a great guy. That's, you know, that was kind of my mentality going into it. And I just kind of had nothing to lose at that point.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Because it's and, like freedom almost.
Yeah. And it, you know what's so weird is because you feel isolated there. You have no phone, no friends. You can't talk to family. You can't go on the internet. You can't watch TV. You don't read books. You're just zoned in on a relationship. But I actually felt free in a way because I knew I had nowhere else to be. And I didn't have to answer to anybody. And I just was kind of, I just kind of surrendered to the process and took it as like time to get to know myself.
What did you learn about yourself?
I learned that I was a lot tougher than I thought I was. I don't think I gave myself enough credit for being, for having thick skin and even just my confidence. Like I was like, oh, because, you know, you're surrounded by women and a lot of times in life, and I don't know why this is, but some women like to tear other women down, and especially when you're competing for one guy on the show, and
right.
in the situation,
that gets tricky.
I just made so many friends, and I just feel like I learned that I didn't give myself enough credit in life for confidence and for having thick skin.
So you actually got more confidence by going on The Bachelor.
Yeah, I did.
Because a lot of women go on The Bachelor and get less confident.
Yeah, I got more and more confident. In fact, I was the most confident I'd ever been when I got sent home.
How was that?
It's so funny to think about now because so there's three of us left.
Okay.
And I was...
Are you friends with the other two?
Yes.
Okay.
And we were in Bali and we're in this rose ceremony and I remember thinking... I was really going to wear this like hot number today, but we were going in this temple in Bali. So you had to wear this sarong and like a blouse and your hair in a bun. And I was like, huh, well, I know he wouldn't send me home in this one. Like, thank God I'm not going home in this outfit. And so the three of us are standing there waiting for him to get the rose. And he comes and Becca, who is one of the three, goes, she looked at us before he came in and she said, I'm going home. And we're like,
is
why?
Is that Beck and Tilly?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was like, I'm going home. I have this feeling like our fantasy suite was like, I don't know. It was not great. Like it was kind of weird in the morning and I just don't know where I'm at. Like, I think he's going to send me home. And so we're like, oh, okay. And then so we're three of us are standing there and he goes, Becca, can I talk to you? And she left and she looked at us like, you know, bye. And I was like, it's okay. She's going to be the bachelorette. Like that's just her journey. That's the path she's on. She's going to be bachelorette. And they pulled me aside for interviews. And I looked at Whitney. I was like, well, guess it's us too, you know? And then in interviews, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really excited to meet his family. Like, no clue. And then we go back to the rose ceremony and Becca comes back in. I'm like, wait a second. What? Why is she coming back? He would have sent her home if she was going home. I don't know what that conversation was. Then I go, well, I guess Whitney's going home.
Because you felt good. Like you were solid.
Okay, yeah. And then he goes, Whitney. And she goes and gets the rose. And I'm like, huh, what? And then it all started hitting. You can see it in my face when I was watching. And I had an out-of-body experience. And I just remember standing there going, Chris Harrison's going to do that thing where he goes, Caitlin, I'm sorry, you did not get the rose. Like, say your goodbyes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I see Chris walking forward and he goes, Caitlin. I was like, oh, my God.
This is happening.
And it just felt, I just felt like it was out-of-body experience. And he walked me to the car and I got in and I was like, okay. That's confusing that I just lost it. But
so yeah. Were you devastated? Did you think that you were in love? Or is it more like small pond? Like you have one guy and it's like,
well,
kind
that's
of,
the thing.
How can you not be in love? There's no one else.
That's the thing. And they really, you know, they really pump their tires. Like this is the greatest guy you'll ever meet in your life. And, you know, it kind of becomes almost a competition too.
Yeah.
But I started questioning it towards the end. I was like, am I in love? Like, I don't even know. Like, I know I really like this guy and I know I'm like, my feelings are getting stronger and stronger, but I actually started getting nervous that I would get picked because I wasn't like sure of where my feelings were at.
Engagement is a big deal.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was. I started getting a little nervous, but, and when he sent me home, I was devastated, but
it's more just like, because like you got rejected.
Yeah. I think it was just like, I was a little embarrassed and I think I just didn't see it coming and I did like him a lot. And yeah. So, but then, I mean, about a week after, I was already over it. So I was like, okay.
That wasn't true love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned fantasy suites. You don't have to give me all sorts of details. But yeah. I always wonder, what are they? It's like, they build those up to this like epic moment in time.
Well, it kind of is.
Because it's like everyone having sex with everyone?
No.
You don't have to.
No. It's honestly, it's the biggest moment in the whole show, if you ask me, because it's the time you finally don't have to be on for the cameras. It's the time that you can actually just have real conversation and really get to know the person and not just, you know, go make out and do all that in one night. Like you're like actually like, okay, cameras are off. It's just us. Like, what are you really feeling? Who don't you like? What's happening? What's happened this
intimately.
Whole, you have the best conversation you've ever had with them in the fantasy suite because you're like, we don't have producers telling us this is what you have to talk about.
Yes.
You don't have cameras all on you. You don't. You can just actually breathe and get real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so that's best. Really the best. And you really can see like, okay, can I go next level with this person?
Yes.
Possibly get engaged.
Yeah.
Start a life.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
Then you said when you were the bachelorette, you were super nervous.
Yes.
And you are the only season that had two bachelorettes.
Yes.
Now that is tricky.
Yeah, that was dumb.
How was that?
It was awful just the way they set it up. I liked her and we got along, but we're two very different people. And I just went into it thinking, okay, if they're there for Britt and she becomes the bachelorette, like those guys weren't for me anyways. And that's what I was trying to tell myself, even though I would have been like devastated also. But yeah, it was, I didn't like it because they kind of were just, they kind of pit us against each other. And then they gave the guys the power to say, like, I'll never forget Chris Harrison saying, who will make a better wife? And I'm like,
that is such a terrible question.
Yeah, I'll never let him live that down either. And he's like, he apologizes to me all the time. He's like, I was reading off a prompter.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, yeah. So it, yeah, that was rough. But I mean, it ended up working out that I got to be the bachelorette. But yeah, it was, what was your question?
You said you were nervous being the bachelorette.
Yeah. And I think I was nervous, one, because it was against somebody else and I didn't even know.
Two levels.
Right. So I was like, I have no idea if I'm even going to be, and all this hype goes into it and you don't even know if it's going to be you. And then two, I was really nervous to always disappoint somebody and hurt people's feelings.
Yes.
So I was just constantly letting people down. Mm. No matter what I did, I was constantly letting someone down. Whether it be a guy, a producer, myself, like I, you know,
you can't win.
No, you can't. And also knowing, oh, I'm going to get, you know, in crap from America about this one. Like it's just a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
How do you deal with all of the energy that is coming at you from the world when you go on a show like that and everyone decides they have an opinion?
Yeah.
Everyone feels like, I know how I feel when I get some bad reviews from like the podcast where people say mean things, and that's just like on such a smaller scale.
I think a smaller scale hurts more.
But what does it feel that like when you're getting flooded with people just offering up their opinions, like they have this right to? And I guess because you put yourself out there, people feel entitled to tell you whatever they think and however they think about you.
I had a really rough go. I think my season, because it was so controversial and because the Instagram and stuff was really blowing up at that time. And so I got it really bad, as I think a lot of them do now too. But I remember just crying
Like, what do people say? Like, what are they?
Oh, I got, I, you know, okay, I, did you know you can go on Instagram and block certain words? So you can make, you can have like blocked words where you can pick something that if you get a lot, that if someone writes that in the comments, it just automatically deletes it. All mine were like slut, whore, like all those words, because that's what I was getting the most of.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was really, really nasty. Yeah. Nasty. I remember getting even emails to my like media account of women saying things like, shut your whore legs.
Oh my gosh.
I would never want my daughter to look up to somebody like you. Like, one lady told me that I should burn in a dumpster.
Oh.
Yeah. Like really awful, hurtful things. And I mean, at first I actually thought it was funny. I was like, oh my gosh, like how, but once it kept happening and over, it started to just like wear on my mind and really hurt my feelings. And I almost am more sensitive to it now than I was then, because I'm like, oh my gosh, if one more person tells me to eat a cheeseburger.
And I noticed, like, you posted something,
yeah,
a couple days ago, you're on a boat and people, because usually you get that you're too skinny.
I always get that I'm too, it's always like, ew, she looks so skinny, ew, eat a burger, blah, blah, blah. I've always been tiny my whole life. But then the other day, Jason posted a picture. We were on a double, no, it was my birthday. It was my birthday. And I had put my leg up and did this like back bend and my stomach like stuck out or something. And every comment, like one after the other, were like, Caitlin looks pregnant. Is that a baby bump? Look at her stomach. I see a baby bump. Oh, LOL. She looks so pregnant. And I was like, enough. Like, no matter what you say about my body, when you're saying like, I just got upset because I'm like, if somebody has a flat stomach, that doesn't mean they're sick and they're too skinny and, you know, mm-hmm. they should eat a cheeseburger. And if somebody is like bloated or just ate a dinner, it doesn't mean they're pregnant. Like, you can't comment like that on women's bodies.
I know.
I don't even like after women have a baby and people are like, oh my gosh, you look amazing for just having a baby. It's like, why are you even commenting on my body? Like, right. It's just such a weird thing to me. And so I got really upset because I think I've just seen it for so long of people talking about my body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of had a moment, and I like to be very open and honest on my social media. So sometimes I can laugh things off, and sometimes I'm like, no, I was crying on the floor because of this. Like, are you happy now? Yeah. And I want people to know that words hurt. And Jason and I always have this conversation because he's like, you know, just ignore it. And I'm like, I don't want to. I want to stand up for myself and I don't want to ignore it. And I can ignore certain things, like a girl with no profile picture with zero followers, because she clearly made that account to try and get at me.
Mm-hmm.
That troll I'll ignore. But the woman who has kids and her bio says she's a Christian and she's telling me to eat a burger, like, I'm going to comment and I'm going to call them out because I want to stand up for myself.
I get that.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
What is the beauty of social media? Because that is the negative of social media.
Yeah, there's so much beauty on social media as well. Like, I got to save my golden retriever. I would have never known about this organization, Bunny's Buddies, if I didn't have social media. I follow an account called Raw Beauty Talks, where one of my girlfriends founded this company, and it's a safe place for women to feel confident about their bodies and all different body types and skin colors and everything that you can imagine, to just empower women. And that's a refreshing thing on my feed that I love scrolling and seeing. There's ways that I've raised money for certain charities. I work with the Covenant House for homeless youth, and I last year raised, oh, I can't remember, it was over $30,000 in like a very short amount of time. And that's a beautiful thing to be able to do that. There's also like my scrunchie business and my wine business. I'm like, right now I'm like, it's not even about the product. I see all these women coming together and trading their scrunchies and talking about the wine and making new friendships. And I'm just like so impressed by it, these women being kind to each other all online. So that's another thing that I find really a beautiful thing about having a platform and being on social media.
So talk to me about your scrunchies. How did you decide to start the scrunchie business? Is that one in your hair?
Yes, this is a do.
It's so cute. And how did you come up with the name?
Okay, so I can't really take credit for coming up with the name. My business
do
partner.
Edit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my business partner, Cleo, she was like, we need to start a scrunchie business, because she goes, you've rocked them since you were two. and straight through, even when they weren't in style, you still rocked them. And she's like, you got me into them because it, I don't like using elastics. I have fine hair and I find that elastics break my hair all the time and pull. And these, I just throw them up. And then if I take them out, my hair's still got a nice wave. I've always believed in the scrunchie.
You got some flair.
Yeah. And I find scrunchies a little quirky and yeah. I'm a little quirky. And it's like, I don't know. It's a fun little accessory. I love it. So she said that. Then we saw Hailey Baldwin wearing a scrunchie and I was like, this is the time. We got to start this now. And within three months, we started Dew. And Cleo came up with the name Dew. And first of all, in French, I think it's rosé. Now, people have called me out on this because of certain spelling. So I'm not going to say that's what it is. But we also were like, oh, it's a hairdo. And so we kind of just went with that name. It's just stuck for me. And we did a bunch of imaging stuff where we looked at it. We're like, that's cute. And then obviously Dew was just taken on Instagram. So Dew Edit, because we have different edits and collections that come out for, you know, spring, summer, fall, winter. I'm so excited about the winter collection that's going to come out, even though it's like, Caitlin, it's summer.
But what is it going to be like? I'm just
thinking so far in advance, like a lot of crushed velvets.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Some vegan leather.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm really excited. And yeah, again, I see the scrunchie gang, we call them, come together. And it's a powerful place. Women are just yes. really empowering each other and getting excited and complimenting each other. And it's really cool to see. And same thing with my wine that I launched.
So like, you're doing two businesses right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Talked about the wine. How did that come about?
So wine, I've always just had a passion for since, I think 18, where I grew up in Alberta and Canada, 18 was the legal drinking age. Mm-hmm. And my mom always had a glass of wine with dinner. And nice. I always just saw 18. It as like, yeah, I always thought of wine as being sophisticated.
Yes.
And I was like, I want to just sip a glass of wine while I have dinner. And I started actually getting passionate about learning about wines because I worked in a restaurant business. And I, over the years, became a manager and had to train servers about wines and, you know, pairing food with wine and where it came from. And I started really falling in love with that part of it. Then on the show, it was unlimited wine.
yes, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then coming off of the show and starting my podcast called Off the Vine, it revolves around, you know, just having a glass of wine with your guest and just feeling comfortable. And, you know, we confess on there and it's just kind of a fun social thing to have a glass of wine while you podcast. And I found myself promoting other wines on the podcast and people were like, you need to start your own wine label. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? I do need to. And so, yeah, we went down to Santa Barbara and
picked out the flavors.
How many
flavors do you have?
Three. So I've got a rosé, a cab sav, and a pinot grigio. And it's called Spade and Sparrows. And I wanted it to be like sophisticated, but like edgy still. But I want people to take me serious in the wine biz.
Yes.
But also not too seriously because I'm not like a sommelier. I'm not a connoisseur. I don't hold my glass a certain way. Like I just enjoy wine and I wanted to share that with people and I want them to enjoy the wine more than anything. So
was it so fun picking the flavors yeah. and getting the blend all right?
Yeah, I did a blending course.
Okay.
Yeah, I got, we met with people in Santa Barbara where the grapes are from, and it was just really interesting to hear them talk about each wine. And it was fun to just be like, I don't like this for this reason, and I do like this, but I don't think my followers would like that because some of these, I did like a lot of polls. I wanted to involve my followers a lot in the process because at the end of the day, they're my consumers, and they are what drives these businesses. So I would have preferred to put out a Pinot Noir, but I did a cab because that's got to give the people what they want.
I love cab.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I love it all, but
yeah.
Yeah. So, and I learned that a Pinot Noir is for a more reserved palate. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So it was fun. It was really fun. And I love that side of it. Obviously.
Did you know when you landed on the one, like the flavor? Were
yeah.
you like, this is it?
Yeah.
Like The Bachelor? Like same kind of thing. You narrow it down to your final rose.
Exactly. You narrow it down to your final rosé. I really did. It was my rosé and the cab were two that I was like, yes.
Like,
the Pinot Grigio took me
it.
A while. Yeah. Because, again, I don't like anything sweet, but I know some people do. So I had to find a balance between, they call it off dry and dry. And that was the one I struggled with a little bit. But at the end of it, I'm obsessed with it now.
Okay. So yeah. You just knew.
Yeah.
So you're running, so you have a wine company, Spade and Sparrow.
Yeah.
Do Edit, yeah. Scrunchy.
Yeah.
And then Off the Vine podcast.
Yeah. And I have three podcasts a week right now.
I do not know how you do three podcasts a week. Doing one a week.
It's hard.
Is a lot for me. How do you do three a week?
I think I took on a little too much there. I don't know. I might go back to two just because
also. They say, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You're eating the whole elephant at once.
I really am. I really am. And it's like, I don't want, I'm finding that people are telling me I'm repeating stories.
But you probably don't even remember.
But I don't. I don't even remember that I'm like, have I told this before? I don't know. And so I'm going to make it a little more structured where on Off the Vine, I just have like an interview. And on Grape Therapy, I do either a bachelor recap or bachelorette recap, Bachelor in Paradise recap, or do like something fun. And
so they're two different podcasts?
Yeah. And then Drunk Dial on Fridays is
where you got a lot of things happening.
Yeah. Drunk Dial is Friday where I just kind of try and involve the listeners and do some calls and they can tell me embarrassing stories, but it's only like 20 minutes.
So you're going to break it down into days. Each day that you do a podcast is a different segment.
Yeah. It's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I might take it down to two because I'm like, okay, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Settle down. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love it. I just love what I do. So that helps. I mean, it's not a terrible thing to.
No.
You know.
It's just, do you have enough time to do it all?
Right. That's and no, thing. I do not. Especially with a new dog now. I'm like, oh, God.
And a new man that's full-time living. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
He's so helpful, though. Oh, my gosh. He's just. I call him my little bonus. Like, he just always helps in any way he can. And he's just a really positive, happy-go-lucky guy who just wants to, like, be better all the time.
Jason was hands-down my favorite on his season. Because that's one of the first seasons I started watching of The Bachelor. Yeah. And I was like, Becca's cray that she didn't pick him. Like, I was like, she is nuts.
I know.
But good for you. Good, yeah, yeah. Good.
I'm very happy about it.
So when you were on The Bachelor and you got down to the final two,
yeah,
and you pick Sean, mm-hmm, were you nervous about getting engaged?
Yeah. Oh, I was so nervous because, again, like, there's stuff with this season that's coming out. You know, people have girlfriends back home, people go on for other opportunities, people aren't there for quote unquote the right reasons, and I was always nervous that the guy I picked, I'm like, what if I go home and learn all these awful things about him?
You don't know anything about him. There's no background check you can do ahead of time.
No, we had 2 days together as like a secret hideout after the engagement, and I was leaving and he was asked me for my phone number. And
how
it just,
weird is that? And you're like engaged.
It's the weirdest. And I really didn't feel like I knew him that well. I really didn't. And you got to know, you know, it's basically you start dating after the show, but you're engaged. So
that's so bizarre.
Yeah, it was strange. I think it makes you fight a little bit harder for the relationship because of the commitment and you're engaged. But it's also, I mean, it's very high risk, high reward. Because
truly,
I consider the 3.5 years I had with him to be successful because, I mean, 3.5 years is something.
That's a long time.
Right. So we tried. tried really hard. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's a successful relationship. And I'm sure you learned a lot from it.
I learned so much from it. Really, truly a lot. And I grew so much in those 3.5 years because I constantly wanted to be better and work on myself and learn a lot about how I function in a relationship. And I really did some serious soul searching and deep diving into who I am and like really worked on myself. So I grew tremendously in the 3.5 years. And I don't even think I consider myself the same person as when I was the Bachelorette.
Oh, I bet not.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Yeah, because when you're the Bachelorette, had you been in a serious relationship before? I mean, you dated Chris on The Bachelor.
Yeah. And then my relationship before that, I was with somebody for 3 years who I definitely thought I was going to marry. And that was the toughest heartbreak of my life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I went on to The Bachelor, I don't even think I was really over that relationship yet. But that helped. That helped me get over it. But yeah, so it was a pretty serious one. But yeah, he lived in Germany and played hockey and he wasn't going anywhere. So I just felt really lost and stuck in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you go visit him over there?
I lived there.
You lived in Germany?
Yeah.
How was that? Germany's beautiful.
It was beautiful.
You can't speak the language. Did you know anybody?
No, it was really tough because it wasn't in like a tourist city. It was in Nuremberg, which is like the most German part of Germany. And I mean, I couldn't even read labels at the grocery store. And I found it really lonely because I couldn't even, you're at the grocery store, you can't even hear people's conversation.
You can't communicate.
Yeah. It was.
Is that weird not being able to communicate with humans?
Yeah. It was really challenging because I think I'm a social person. And the girlfriends and wives too, like not a lot of them lived there. They would visit. And if they were there, they were German and they had their own little German clique of girls that they didn't really let anyone else in. And I just felt like I wasn't working. I was in a 9-hour time difference from where my family was at and friends. He had his own thing going on. And I just felt like I was emotionally, financially just relying on this one person. And that's not me. Mm-hmm. And I just knew I had to do something that filled my soul, and I wasn't, and it made me miserable there. So it was a great relationship, but I had just lost myself at mm-hmm. the end of it. Like I just wasn't even me anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't going to work.
Yeah. Too many hard variables. In
yeah.
That one.
Yeah. A lot.
And so you're like, okay, I'm not going to do Germany and live over there. I'm going to just go on The Bachelor because yeah. that's going to be easy.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm a risk taker.
I love that about you, though.
When he was like, Germany, I'm like, let's go. Like I just.
Yeah. Yeah, you're ready for it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
In worst case, you get into it and you realize, okay, this isn't going to work. But aren't you glad you did it?
So glad. I mean, every single thing that I've done has led me to where I am now. And including all the really tough things, like even I'm even glad for what I went through on the show and how people responded to me, because that too has shaped me into why I'm stronger now and why I'm more self-aware, and all these things have just been, if you look at it the right way, a positive.
Isn't it interesting though, when you're going through something really hard,
yeah,
it feels so devastating,
yeah,
and like you'll never live through it,
yeah.
You don't see light at the end of the tunnel. And then you get on the other side of it, like you are, and you can see the benefit. Why do you think we have to struggle and fail?
I think it's just for those obvious things where you don't appreciate the good things that come from it unless you go through something hard. And every time I've gone through something hard, I appreciate my relationship with Jason so much now. And I don't think I would have ever gone after someone like Jason. Too nice. Like,
too nice. You
know? Not that I never really dated the typical asshole. I kind of always dated like, pretty good guys. But I don't think I would have appreciated the kind of man Jason is unless I went through what I've went through. I just think that's part of it is going through hard times. It shapes you and it makes you appreciate the good when you come out the other side.
So what's the highest high and the lowest low that you learned from The Bachelor?
Highest high... Highest high was probably like, I think just having such a loyal following and being able to use my platform for good, I think has been the highest high. Like I feel like I've got to build this community of women who stand by each other. And I mean, I still do obviously get hate, but 90% is actually really great. So that's probably my highest high is having them. And then my lowest low is definitely just, I think, two things. I think one, hurting somebody that I cared about on the show and putting someone through that amount of pain and not wanting to take it back. Like also having to stand up for myself while protecting somebody's feelings that I deeply care about. And then probably having to go through the breakup was a pretty low from the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have you learned about love?
That it's very unpredictable and you don't know when it's going to come in or out of your life. It's something that I struggle with. Like when I first meet somebody, I struggle with trust and giving them love and accepting love because I'm like, how are you going to hurt me?
And where does that come from?
Probably seeing my parents go through a divorce. I think I was at an older age. I was 18 when my parents divorced, which seems like it's kind of later in life. I was really fortunate for how it went down because they're still friends.
That's amazing.
And they're both like super happy for one another. They're both happily remarried. They were all on the show with me for family hometowns, and they're just really great. But I think I just saw two people that I had such a, you know, our family was the Brady Bunch growing up. Like, we went on family road trips and we did all these fun things together, and we had a great, great, strong family. And then I just watched two people fall out of love. Mm. And I think that's my fear is me. Yeah, maybe it's not how are you gonna hurt me, maybe it's when are you gonna fall out of love with me. Okay. And that's proven to be true a few times. Like, I truly believe Sean wasn't in love at the end. Mm. Or couldn't show it. Maybe he was and he just couldn't show it, and it was just devastating to me. And so I think my fear seems to come true in my past relationships, and that's why this one's so different. I think I feel established in myself, in a career, in who I am. I've put the work in with myself. I will always continue to put the work in with myself. And he makes me feel really safe. And I think that's huge for me, because I just don't question where his feelings are at, ever.
Did you feel safe in your other relationships?
No.
You didn't?
No.
How not?
So in my one in Germany, I didn't feel safe because I didn't feel like myself. I just was like, who is this person? You didn't fall in love with this person. You could leave me at any minute because this isn't what you signed up for.
Because you weren't even sure of who you
were.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't think I felt safe with myself. I just didn't even know who I was. And in my last one, I think the show always hung over his head, and it was always like a toxic thing in our relationship that I just never felt like he forgave me. Mm. It's
too big of like a sore thumb.
Yeah. Yeah. It just never got let go. Yeah. And it was constantly brought up. And I just was like, you know, when is he going to leave? Because he clearly, you know, he's too damaged and hurt.
Can't
by
handle
something.
The past.
Right.
The past is too strong.
Yeah. The past was stronger than him, and he couldn't let it go. And I just felt insecure the whole relationship. Because I was like, he wasn't like, you are my person and I love you and I would get through anything with you. He was like, I don't know if I can ever get over this. I don't
Is
know
it
if
just
I can
that
do
you
this.
Loved other people or dated other people?
Yeah, I think it was the whole like controversy of that I slept with somebody else on the show. Yeah. And I mean, I was just, if you even knew me in that point of the show, I didn't even know who I was. Like, I just put on autopilot, and I was like, what do you need me to say for interviews? Like, I'm just so lost. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how I feel. I was just so numb by the end that I think, yeah, it was, I mean, that's what I say was one of the lowest, because I hurt somebody that I deeply cared about. And that, you know, was, I don't think he, at the end of the day, I don't think he's my person. I don't think we're meant to be together. So this happened, but it was 3.5 years of like, feeling shame. Mm. I felt shame, and I don't like that. And that's what I constantly had to work on, was it was false shame. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't feel shame. And that's why I just continued to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does Jason make you feel safe?
Oh my gosh. He's just so, he's so secure with himself. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's worked so hard in his career and his life, and he did all these years of school, and he's a really, really smart, driven, go-getter kind of guy. And I think it takes a secure man to make somebody else feel safe. And I think that's the same thing with me. I feel secure in myself, and I think he feels safe. But he's so stable. He communicates everything. He's not ashamed of his feelings or emotions. Mm-hmm. He's just like, hearing him talk to my parents too about just how he feels about me, like, he's just so confident in how he feels about me that I don't know, it's crazy. I've just never felt so secure in a relationship.
Oh
yeah,
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
What a journey to get here.
Yeah, it really has been. I mean,
you've really
that's
put
one
yourself
way.
Through it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if I ever write a book,
you should write a book.
Yeah, it'll be a good one.
What would you call it?
Caitlin Bristow, I'm an open book.
I love that.
I'm very honest. Yeah.
I love that about you. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that takes a lot of guts to be that honest, because it is hurtful to have everyone have opinions about you because you're just honest and putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
But truly, what a great way to live.
Yeah. Well, it's tough too, because is someone at my door?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you want to go to get
nope.
it? Okay,
hey, I'm just gonna ignore it and see what happens.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
they're not ignoring you. Oh.
Oh, great. Okay, I'm going to.
Okay.
Sorry.
We're going to. Hey, no worries.
Take a knee here.
Take a knee.
Oh, hi. Sorry. I'm in the middle of the podcast. You get your name. Yeah. No, don't be sorry. I told you to come in. Just grab it. what were we saying?
You were talking about, see, I have pregnancy brain.
Oh, and I have new puppy brain.
Yeah.
Is that, can that be a thing?
That can be a thing.
Okay.
You're talking about a book.
Oh, I'm an, oh, I'm honest.
Oh, being, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So good. Being vulnerable.
Because sometimes, oh, he's just,
oh, he is going
cords.
To get in there. Why do I keep wanting to call him Biscuit?
Oh, go ahead. Get it, Biscuit. Lay down. Lay down.
Okay, good boy.
Oh, good boy. I think part of what I've seen with, you know, coming off the show is I wanted people to trust me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to just be, I wanted to really be myself because I thought that was the only, and I still think it's the only way to find success in relationships, business, whatever you do. I think you just have to really own who you are. Otherwise it's exhausting because I've tried that too in my 20s. But I want people to know that even I have, you know, this house and this great relationship and this new puppy, and I still want them to see that I'm a human being that still get my feelings hurt over, you know, body image issues, and I want to be honest about having those issues because I think just having conversation about things makes people feel more comfortable in their own skin.
Why is it so important to you that you want to let other people feel comfortable in their own skin?
It's just so freeing. I want everybody to feel, to know what it feels like to accept yourself and to work on the things you don't accept, because it's just, I just feel like I'm in the best place I've ever been in my life. And I feel like it's because I've gotten really vulnerable with myself, and I've gotten really honest with myself and had uncomfortable conversations even with myself about where these things stem from. And it's almost like liberating.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it makes you, and it attracts the right people to you as well. Like, I don't know. I just think that's how you meet the person you're supposed to be with. That's how you get the job you want to have. That's how you live the life you want to live, is by being authentic and sharing the good and bad, good, bad, and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's important. And I think it makes you more real. And there's nothing I like more than when somebody shares something vulnerable with me. If I'm like, how's it going? And they say, oh, you know what? I've had a really bad day and this is happening. I'm like, thank you.
For just being real.
Yeah, it's just so real. I feel like it's tough to come by these days. And, you know, especially with social media and the highlight reel. And it's nice to just to get a little... like something refreshing, like honesty.
And do you feel like you've lived both sides of that coin?
Yeah.
That's another reason, like, you know how it feels to not live as authentically as you
are
now?
Yeah. In my 20s, my younger 20s, I always would try to adapt to the people around me and be what I thought they thought I should be. And I just wanted to be accepted. And I think that just comes with age.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, it was, who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? And trying to fit in where I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And being around people who didn't really have my best interest in mind and not seeing that.
How did you finally learn that lesson?
I don't know where the turning point was. I honestly think it came from going through a really hard breakup and digging into therapy and where things came from in my life. And I think I don't know. I always talk about therapy and having a therapist and how much it's helped
it's
me.
So great.
Yeah. I absolutely
so
love
great.
It. I just think mental health is so important, and it's come such a long way for me having a therapist that I'm like, everybody needs one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, we all struggle with something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just to be able to get it out there and talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about it is so important.
And then you realize that you're not alone.
Yeah, exactly.
And that everybody has stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to try to hide all my stuff too.
Yeah.
And like act like I was perfect because, yeah, I thought everyone else was.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you realize, oh, everyone's just trying to figure this out.
Everyone. Even when you have it figured out, you're still finding something else to figure out.
Yeah.
Nobody has everything figured out.
No, and never will.
No.
And we all never. Just get thrown things at us, different things.
Yeah.
We all have different struggles.
Working on this house, it's my girlfriend always told me, I'm like, oh, there's always something. And she goes, you have to think of a house like an ongoing project. There's always going to be something to work on. There's always going to be something to improve. There's always going to be trouble areas and things that go wrong, but you just have to, it's an ongoing project. And then I started thinking about life like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just, I'm an ongoing project. I'll have failures and things that I do wrong, and I'll learn from them, and I'll continue to work at myself and make improvements. And yes, it's just an ongoing project.
It is. Yeah. And I guess when we finish it, we die. So yeah, we kind of want it to be ongoing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Then please, we don't want to be done. That's, yet.
Everybody's upset about getting older. And I'm like, well, doctors say that the more birthdays you have, the longer you live. So let's keep those going.
Okay. So you just had a birthday. How old did you turn?
34.
30 fortunate.
Yeah. 30 fortunate.
Yeah.
I like that.
30 fortunate.
I like that.
What are you excited about with this brand new spanking year?
Oh my gosh. I have so many high hopes for this year. I just think I'm excited to learn more about the business side of things. I find that I have like more of a creative mind. I'm not really good at the execution, but now I'm learning that side of things, and Jason's really good at that kind of thing, so he's been helping me. I'm excited to just grow those businesses and see all these people get excited about wine and scrunchies and be able to talk about it on the podcast. And I think just Jason and I are in such a good place where the next step for us would be getting engaged. And I mean, I'm not saying like tomorrow, but like, that's what I look forward to in this year of being 34. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. If you had to describe yourself in three words, what would they be?
Oh, okay. Vivacious.
Vivacious.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that word. Vulnerable.
Totally.
And compassionate.
I love that.
Yeah.
What's a moment when you think of it brings you so much joy?
Oh, a moment like something that's happened in your life
that you think about it that just you were in so much joy. It was just overflowing.
Oh, I think it was probably when my sister had a baby and all my family was together. And she was just this new life, and we were just so in love with her, and everybody was just like the highest high ever. That feels like it brings me so much joy, and I'm so close with her. She's, I mean, my sister has a little boy too, and I love him too. But I just have this special bond with Sydney, my niece, and she is just growing into this confident little spicy thing. Like, she's just, she did this whole video about how being you is the best thing you can do in life. And yeah, she's just amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. She brings me a lot of joy.
What does a successful life look like to you?
A farm of golden retrievers. I think just doing what you love and being around people that genuinely love you. Like, I remember somebody asking me, when do you feel the most beautiful? And I'm like, just when I'm around people that love me. Like, it's just so important to me. I've been in the world, in the industry, and I'm sure you can speak to this too, of, you know, there's social climbers and there's people who just, they crave that that acceptance from the outside, from the followers on Instagram, from the, you know, whatever it is. And to me, I've been in, you know, I've seen that side of things too, and I just, it's not fulfilling. And success to me is just doing what you love with the people you love. Yeah.
What is the lie that your inner critic tells you that you have to overcome?
Which one?
What are the lies?
That somebody's going to fall out of love with me.
Okay.
That with all this going on in the three podcasts, I feel like I'm disappointing people. And I hate disappointing people.
And you felt that way on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Disappointing people. Yes. That's, I convinced myself that I disappoint people. And probably that, like, I think from growing up in a world of dancers and ballet, I've had a lot of pressure on my body. And I work on myself all the time, I still have those little lies that try and creep into my head that I need to look a certain way. And I think I truly try and work on that. Like, I tell myself that the world that I'm in, I need to stay young looking and be this, like, you know, pretty thing all the time and be on. And I think I need to change that mindset, which I have sticky notes on my mirror everywhere, and that beauty comes from the inside. And when you get the inside right, the outside falls into place. And I have come a long way.
That's amazing. Yeah. That leads me to one of my last questions, because I would talk to you forever, but it's already like an hour, and I know you have to go do things.
It's amazing. Well, you know what I have? I have a phone call with a dog medium.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can't wait to, I'm going to do a podcast about it, because.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. Talking all about your dog.
Yeah. Like his past life. I have like 20 questions to ask her about him.
Okay. I cannot wait to hear that podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you about it.
Okay. Self-talk.
Yeah.
Are you aware of your self-talk? And
yes.
Because I didn't realize I had very negative self-talk mm-hmm. until I started realizing that I even had self-talk.
Yeah.
And that it was always telling me terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
What is your self-talk, and how do you channel it to be a good influence in your life?
That's my main practice with not telling myself lies, is I have self-talks all the time. So my girlfriend, Erin Treloar, who founded Raw Beauty, she was my health and wellness coach as well. And she used to get me to write 100 things that I love about myself. And I'm like, 100? That is a lot. And then by the end of it, I'm like, God, I love this. Got a lot going on. Like, it's just crazy how much self-talk and, you know, self-love can change your mindset. So I do a lot of mirror high fives.
Okay, what? How do you do? Like, you just high five the mirror?
Like, I'll look into the mirror and I'll be like, if I'm having an insecure moment, I just say stop out loud, mm-hmm. and I start telling myself the good, and then I high five myself in the mirror.
Yes.
Yeah. Or double tap. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does. It really does. And then it makes you laugh, because you're like, did I just high five myself in the mirror? Like. Go get it, girl.
But instead of just going on the spiral with the lie that you say out loud,
stop. Yeah.
Because you know you're spiraling into a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you let yourself spiral and not aware of it, it can become a huge lie that lasts for a long time that you actually believe about yourself.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, I've read stats on that. I think it's like 92% or something of the things we do tell ourselves that are negative are lies.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
So yeah, mirror talks are, and just saying out loud to stop, because sometimes that's all you need to do is just stop.
Just
and
catch
and,
yourself.
Yeah, catch yourself, and then think of the three things that you love about yourself, and then mirror high five.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like to end all my podcasts with leave your light.
Okay.
So Lee, just drop some inspiration. Obviously, you're very inspiring, but there's something that you want people to know.
I think I could just end it with my favorite quote of all time. That is something I try and live by. And that's that I would rather be hated for who I am than loved for somebody I'm not.
Yes. Yeah. And that takes bravery.
Yeah. And that's, again, learning from experience.
Okay. One last question after this. How do you make yourself be brave?
I just feel like I don't even know how I do it. It's just in me to take chances. And I feel like the more I've done it, the more success has come to me. So I just keep proving myself that when you do things that are risks, it can pay off. So I think the more I do it, the more brave I get.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Thank you for joining me on my podcast and sharing all of your wisdom.
Thanks for coming over here and doing it here.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, I'm happy to be here in the headquarters.
Yeah, the Vine headquarters.
Yay. Okay, bye.
Bye.